ఇక్కడ కథలు పడినారే పడినారు.
परिदानव चार्य अष्टोत्र सत्स्वी मां के दिवान ब्रेस एसी भक्ति विनात स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजक चार्य अष्टोत्र सत्स्वी मां के दिवान ब्रेस श्रीला भक्ति सिद्धांत सत्स्वी ठाकुर महाराज की इसकॉन फाउंडर बीबीटी फाउंडर बीआई फाउंडर भक्ति कल्चर द फाउंडर इज दिवान ब्रेस एसी भक्ति विनात स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की श्री श्री संत गोस्वामी प्रभु की अनंत गौरी वैष्णवृंद की प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत वेदांत श्री वासवि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंद गिरी गोवर्धन की श्री वृंदावन भूमि की श्री मथुर धाम की श्री मायापुर नवद्वीप धाम की निराचल पुरुषोत्तम चेत जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की चक्रदीप वामन चेत भरतपुरी धाम की गंगामय की यमनमय की श्रीमति तुलसी वृंदाय देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की जय श्री हरि नाम संकीर्त यज्ञ की हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र युग धर्म की धृतराज श्रीमद भागवत की जय गौर प्रेम All glories to the assembly of devotees. All glories to the assembly of devotees. All glories to the assembly of devotees. All glory to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Varanta. All glories to Sri Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji and Mata Ji. Welcome all devotees for the Saturday evening program and the function of Bhagavad Gita. Today we are very, very happy to have this place, Devkinath Prabhuji, to the class. So I request all devotees to please come forward. Because many devotees will come later. Praise Devkinath Prabhuji ki.
So Hare Krishna to everyone. We welcome everyone today to hear very nice verse from Bhagavad Gita. So instructive these verses are. And actually the verses are alive. They are more alive than you and I. We are actually dead. The verses are very alive. So let's sing Jai Radha Madhava. Glorify the Lord. Invoke their blessings and Srila Prabhupada's blessings. And then let us be very blissful in studying this beautiful verse.
Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Yeah.
Jai Sri Jagannath Baladev Sukadamai Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Srila Gurudev Ki Nitai Gaura Premanandri Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya of the Gita summarized and chapter text 8. Last time, 2 weeks ago, we did 2-7, so now we will do 2-8. Nahi prapashyami mama panudhya yachokamucho shanam indriyana avapya bhumau asap
Rajyam Suranam Apichadipatyam.
Prabhuji, would you like to chant?
Yeah. శోషణం ఇంద్రియాణా
ప్రపశ్యామి ఐ సీ మమ మై అపనుద్యా కెన్ డ్రైవ్ అవే యట్ దట్ విచ్ శోకం లమెంటేషన్ ఉచ్చోషణం డ్రైవ్ అప్ ఇంద్రియాణ ఆఫ్ ద సెన్సెస్ అవాప్య అచీవింగ్ భూమ on the earth, asapatnam, without rival, vriddham, prosperous, rajyam, kingdom, surana, of the demigods, api, even, cha, also, adipatyam, supremacy. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Please repeat the translation. I can find
no means
to drive away
this grief
which is drying up
my senses.
I will not be able
to dispel it
even if I win a prosperous unrivaled
kingdom on earth
with sovereignty
like the demigods in heaven.
Please hear the purport. Although Arjuna was putting forward so many arguments based on knowledge of the principles of religion and moral codes, it appears that he was unable to solve his real problem without the help of the spiritual master, Lord Sri Krishna. He could understand that his so-called knowledge was useless in driving away his problems, which were drying up his whole existence, and it was impossible for him to solve such perplexities without the help of a spiritual master like Lord Krishna. Academic knowledge, scholarship, high position, etc. are all useless in solving the problems of life. Help can be given only by a spiritual master like Krishna. Therefore, the conclusion is that a spiritual master who is 100% Krishna conscious is the bona fide spiritual master. For he can solve the problems of life. Lord Chaitanya said that one who is a master in the science of Krishna consciousness, regardless of his social position, is the real spiritual master. Kiva vipra kiva nyasi shudra kene naya yehi Krishna tattva veta sehi guru hai. It does not matter whether a person is a vipra, learned scholar in Vedic wisdom, or is born in a lower family, or is in the renounced order of life. If he is a master in the science of Krishna, he is the perfect and bona fide spiritual master. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya 8.1-8. So, without being a master in the science of Krishna consciousness, no one is a bona fide spiritual master. It is also said in the Vedic literature, Sarkarma Nipuno Vipro Mantra Tantra Vishadadaha Avaishnavo Guru Nasyad Vaishnava Swa Pacho Guru. A scholarly Brahmana, expert in all subjects of Vedic knowledge, is unfit to become a spiritual master without being a Vaishnava or expert in the science of Krishna consciousness. But a person born in a family of a lower caste can become a spiritual master if he is a Vaishnava or Krishna conscious, Padma Purana. The problems of material existence, birth, old age, disease and death cannot be counteracted by accumulation of wealth and economic development. In many parts of the world, there are states which are replete with all facilities of life, which are full of wealth and economically developed, yet the problem of material existence are still present. They are seeking peace in different ways, but they can achieve real happiness only if they consult Krishna or the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, which constitute the science of Krishna. Through the bona fide representative of Krishna, the man in Krishna consciousness. If economic development and material comforts could drive away one's lamentation for family, social, national, or international inequities, then Arjuna would not have said that even an unrivaled kingdom on earth or supremacy like that of the demigods in the heavenly planets would be unable to drive away his lamentations. He sought, therefore, refuge in Krishna consciousness. And that is the right path for peace and harmony. Economic development or supremacy over the world can be finished at any moment by cataclysms of material nature. Even elevation into a higher planetary situation, as men are now seeking on the moon planet, can also be finished at one stroke. The Bhagavad Gita confirms this. Shine punye mathe loka pishati. When the results of pious activities are finished, one falls down again from the peak of happiness to the lower status of life. Many politicians of the world have fallen down in that way. Such downfalls only constitute more causes for lamentation. Therefore, if we want to curb lamentation for good, then we have to take shelter of Krishna, as Arjuna is seeking to do. So Arjuna asked Krishna to solve his problem definitely. And that is the way of Krishna consciousness. Jai Shri Prabhupada, Transcendental Purports Ki. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Nyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanyano Vishnam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Vayam Dadati Swabhanantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutatakatamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavascha Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sarvaitam Savadutam Prajana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitam Sya He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Nanda Radha Kanta Namostute Taptakanchana Gaurangi Radhe Radheeshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurai Vishe Namaha Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitana Pahanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So in this verse, Arjuna is going on from where he stopped. If you remember, the turning point for him is actually the verse before this. Because in the verse before this, Arjuna, after all his arguments, finally says, I am confused, I have lost my composure, and I am no longer confident. So he says, I am confident in you, Krishna. This is very important. Every time this material world will make us confused. Even if we are not confused by material world, we confuse others in material world. Isn't it true? If we don't become the problem or the tail end of the confusion, sometimes we become the source of the confusion. And either way, either we lose the composure or we become instruments for making others lose their composure. In this way, this material world is a very difficult place to live. Arjuna tried very hard on his own attempts for the first chapter. All the important qualifications of a Vaishnava, compassion, sincere thinking of what his dharma should be, what he should or should not be doing, a higher cause in terms of compassion, where this battle will lead him. But even though he should be convincing himself, at the end of it he gives up. And he surrenders and he says, Krishna, I've spoken about all this, but very frankly now I'm completely confused about what I have to do. And I've lost my composure. Why? Because I'm miserly and I'm weak. This miserly weakness comes because of bodily identification. This is the thing we have to understand. So now, Krishna, Arjuna tells Krishna, you tell me now what is certain. You tell me for certain what is best for me. Keep this line in mind. Because this line is very important by the end of today's verse. Remember that Arjuna asked one thing very important of Krishna. Please, for certain, you know what is best for me. When you turn to someone and you say, Prabhu, Mataji, you know what is best for me. What you're telling them actually is, you please decide for me. Isn't it? We don't tell them, you know what is best for me. Huh? And then after that, you tell them what I want to do. Doesn't make sense. If you go up to someone and say, you know what is best for me. And you put a full stop there, what is the implication? The implication is, I don't know what is best for myself. You know what is best for me. So you please take care of me. This is important. Only when the day comes, we can stand before Jagannath and actually tell him honestly that Jagannath, you know better what is best for me. And it's not my concoctions which are better for me. That day we will improve in our devotional service. It's a very simple prayer. But it took Arjuna one chapter. So it may take us many lives. But the point is, Arjuna's example is ours to follow. Not imitate, but to follow. And that is why in this next verse, Arjuna says so nicely, he explains now why he must surrender to Krishna. He says, I cannot drive away this grief. So actually, Arjuna was telling Krishna that this whole complexity of whether to fight or not to fight was giving him great trouble. Isn't it true also in our lives? Very often we are at crossroads. Sometimes material world makes us make decisions which are so difficult to make. We don't know to go this way, to go that way. In the end, we go no way. Isn't it? Sometimes we come to a junction, don't know right, don't know left. In the end, we don't move. We just stay where we are. And sometimes when we are in this situation, then it is very important for us to realize, as Prabhupada says, that whatever solutions that we have, they are only bringing grief in this world. You find every time you make a material solution for a material problem, you find that without Krishna being injected into that, that problem becomes worse. That solution becomes worse than the problem. It's very famous. Prahlad Maharaj says that, Dukhaushadam tarapi dukkamatardiyayam. That means that apart from devotional service, there is no other way to relieve this grief. So Arjuna is telling Krishna, Krishna, this grief is so powerful, it is drying me up. Why? Because this grief cannot stop the problems of his life. And the problems of his life, Prabhupada has very clearly stated, is birth, old age, birth, disease, old age and death. We normally say birth, death, old age and disease. But actually, death comes at the end. If you die, then you're saved, you know. You don't grow old and you don't get disease. But very often, Maya is such, you know, she'll make you taste a bit of disease and definitely, hopefully, some old age and then finish you off with death. So it's not that simple. But these are the four problems of life. And wherever in the world we are, it doesn't matter whether we're in an advanced country like Singapore or in a not advanced country by material standards anywhere else in the world, the problems of birth, death, old age and disease have never been solved. Never. Never. No one has been able to stop birth. And for those who are born, no one has been able to stop death. Nobody. And in between these two junctions, everyone falls sick. Isn't it true? Nobody is feeling well. If you ask anyone how you are, and they say, I'm fine, actually it's not true. They're just being nice. But the truth is, if you ask them at that point, is some part of your body or your mind or something giving you problem, everybody can draw a long list. Many of us are walking hospitals in one sense, you know, because we are also walking accidents. Our body is constantly having some problems. And if our health lasts for a while, we think we're all right. But suddenly, one fine day, you know, something just comes. And without knowing anything, shockingly, we are either finished, or we are bedridden, or we are in difficulty. So Arjuna's problem was very real to him. Why? Because whatever decision he took, don't forget, it will not involve money. It doesn't involve loss of land. These are secondary in one sense. But it's going to require a lot of people losing lives. Millions and millions of persons can lose their lives. This is a very important point. That's why for a Vaishnava to take life is very sacred. And that's why Prabhupada says whatever actually Arjuna was feeling is not completely wrong. It is the foundation of a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava starts everything in devotional service with compassion. Without compassion, one cannot make progress in devotional service. So, if Arjuna felt this, it is not to be taken lightly. Prabhupada writes in the purport, few purports before this, this is the compassion of a Vaishnava. Only when a Vaishnava has compassion, does he or she become ripe for the platform of devotional service to actually grow. A Vaishnava who is not compassionate will find it very hard to bow before a spiritual master. It is very difficult. Because there is a subtle link between being compassionate and being humble. You will find that the Vaishnavas who are humble are naturally broad-hearted and compassionate. But if our hearts are stone, then our pride is high. When our pride is high, how are we to bow down? You see the link? There's a very strong link between humility and compassion. And that is why Arjuna was the ripened student, because he had plenty of compassion, and in the last verse and now, he's showing so much of humility. He's now telling Krishna, I'm opening my heart to you, and I'm telling you I'm really difficult. It takes a lot for someone to come down and say, I'm very weak. But Vaishnavas are humble, and they recognize that this world suffering cannot be taken away until one surrenders to a higher energy. This is important. So we cannot underestimate this point, Prabhu's advantages. That wherever we are, birth, death, old age, disease, it is the main problem. Prabhupada sometimes had to deal with many of his disciples. They would come and say, Prabhupada, I have a problem that is unique. No one else has any such problem. And Prabhupada said, all your problems are the same. The problem is still birth, death, old age and disease. No one can escape that. Because as soon as you are born, you have to suffer. And that suffering culminates in death. So where is the difficulty of understanding that? One time, a professor in America asked Prabhupada, Swamiji, you're talking so much about elevating consciousness in our society. Why don't you go back to India? Because India needs you more. India has so much poverty. People are dying all the time. Prabhupada stopped him. He said, no, people are not dying all the time. And then the man said, no, but the death mortality rate in India is much higher than in US. And Prabhupada said, whether in US or in India, death rate is always the same. It's 100%. It's amazing. Just think about what Prabhupada said. Prabhupada said, wherever we are, death rate is always the same. It is 100%. And the professor got caught because he didn't realize, yeah, actually it's true. No matter what we claim or how well we keep our people, death rate is always going to be 100%. So, what is there to measure? The measurement of our life is whether we can cross this hurdle. So that is why Bhagavatam tells us the whole problem of birth, death, old age and disease has come because of bodily identification. Every time you are in misery, no matter how many years we are a devotee, we mustn't forget the root cause of it is we have identified that problem because it is related to our body. Related to our body can extend to our family because they are products of our body. And our false ego also extends into our family. Sometimes our false ego extends and expands into our society. Sometimes it expands across the country. That's how we have nationalism. That's how we have socialism. That's how we feel communal. If someone came in and said, what is Gita meaning society? We may just stand up and say, hey, it's a great society. It's an extension of a false ego in the heart, which is expanded through 13 Kaf Road. But the product is the same. It is bodily identification. Every single problem you note down from today till the day you die is because of bodily identification. There's no other problem. So death rate is 100%. Problem also the same. Bodily identification. So it's very simple now for us. We understand that. But the important thing that Arjuna is saying is that no matter how knowledgeable he is today, it is very difficult for him to cross over this grave. Prabhus, if you come forward, Prabhus behind don't have to stand. You know? They can come and sit comfortably. So we may be educated, we may be rich, we may be opulent, we may have so many positive qualities, but if they are all material, then Prabhupada says in this purport, they cannot drive away the grief. This is what Arjuna is saying. He's saying that I can find no means to drive away this grief. And this grief is drying up his senses. In other words, even though he has senses, he feels like he's all empty and vacant in this world. And the reason for it is because up to the first chapter and up to the sixth verse of this second chapter, Arjuna was in difficulty because all his arguments did not have Krishna. Every single argument in the first chapter was, in that argument, Krishna was absent. That is why he was in difficulty. And the same thing Arjuna feels later, many later after Bhagavad Gita, at the end of the Mahabharata war, that will be 18 days later, 20 days later, he feels the same thing, but this time it is captured in Bhagavatam. In the first canto, 15th chapter, in the 21st verse. And it's a very important verse because it tells us what happens when we don't have Krishna with us. So Arjuna is speaking in that verse, to Yudhishthir Maharaj. And Yudhishthir Maharaj, they were talking. And then after that, Vidura also was there. And then the question was asked, how is Krishna? How are the Yadavas? And at that point already, Krishna had wound up his pastimes. So at that point, Arjuna is now intensely remembering his dearmost friend and his spiritual master, Krishna. And he says very nicely, Tadvai danusta ishavasa ratho hayaste soham ratin vipatayo yata anamanti sarvam shanena tarabhut asa isharektam vasmanutam kuhukavadam ivoktamushya. This is very important for us. Why? Because in this verse, Arjuna says that I have the same sin, no difference. I have the same Gandiva bow, the bow of Krishna. Before the Mahabharata, he had the same bow. After Mahabharata, he also had the same bow. Then he says, I have the same arrows which I used in the same bow. I have the same chariot that I was on while the Mahabharata was going on. I also have the same horses. The horses are still there. And on top of that, I also am the same Arjuna. Same Arjuna. That means nothing has changed about me. And I am the same Arjuna that great kings were so powerful, were subdued. And they had to offer respects to me. That was me, the great Arjuna. And yet he says, at a moment's notice, without Krishna, in Krishna's absence, all of my chariot, my arrows, my horses, my bow, myself, we have all become null and void. Powerless. Why? Because after Krishna left this material world, at least from our vision, Arjuna was trying to defend the queens of Krishna in Dwarka from these infidel cowherds. And these infidel cowherds, they were trying to ravage and they were trying to kidnap the queens. These great queens were none other than goddesses of fortune. And yet, Arjuna could not even defeat them. Arjuna, in fact, lost control of the situation. And the great queens, they were taken away by the infidels. And Arjuna is thinking at this moment, here I was so powerful, but today I realize one thing. I realized that actually speaking, all my power on the battlefield of Kurukshetra was there only because Krishna was my charioteer. And because I had surrendered to him. Because I accepted him in 2.7 and going on to 2.8. That is why I was successful. This is the mood of a devotee. When a devotee experiences success, if he is in bodily identification, he gives credit to himself. Then what happens is, he becomes greedy. Then he thinks he is the Lord. And then he gets slapped by Maya Devi. And then he becomes grieved. And then he dries up. This is what happens. But a devotee is different. A devotee immediately realizes in the absence of Krishna, all powers that we have, actually, they have no value. Because Krishna was supplying the power. This is very important. Sometime, People get married in the center. And after getting married, because they meet each other in the center, they leave the center. Or they leave Krishna consciousness thinking, I have come here, I found a good wife, now I don't need Krishna. But I tell you from my experience, in the last 20 years that this movement is going on, every time two persons get married, because they say, I've come to Krishna consciousness because of Jagannath or the deities, and then they leave Krishna consciousness, that's when they realize that actually, the moment Krishna is absent in their life, there is no value to marriage. There is no value to anything, because then the problems start coming in. And without Krishna consciousness, we cannot solve anything in this world. This is the point. And this is what Arjuna is knowing there. And in the purport of 115.21, Prabhupada says a very important point. He says, all energy and power are derived from one source, and that is Krishna. And they are very powerful as long as He desires. These powers in us are very powerful as long as Krishna desires. Krishna wanted Arjuna to be Nimitta Matram. Right? He wanted him to be an instrument in his hands. So to the point that he obeyed Krishna, to that point Krishna empowered Arjuna. Look at Srila Prabhupada's life. Srila Prabhupada made the orders of his spiritual master his life and his soul. Tapta Jivanam. That's what he did. And because he made the spiritual orders of his spiritual master his life and soul, he was always empowered in every single endeavor he did. Whatever Prabhupada has done for 1,000 years, we will not be able to even come close to. We can't. Why? Because never was there a moment when the energy and power of Krishna was not present with Srila Prabhupada. Why? Because never was there a moment when Srila Prabhupada was in bodily identification. That is why he was never dry when there were challenges. Vaishnavas also have challenges. We don't say the moment you put tilak and you chant, you've crossed all problems. No more problems. Just walk out, stand in the middle of the road, no car will hit you. We don't suggest you try it. Because the fact is, a car will hit you. Right? But we don't say that when you come to Krishna, or if you include Krishna in your life, it doesn't mean the problems go. But it gets even better. It means when the problems come, we have the right fortitude and the right attitude to face these problems. Because we see Krishna's hand in it. That is the difference. So Prabhupada ends the purport by saying, as long as he desires, everything is alright. But everything ceases to function as soon as he withdraws. This is very important. Material civilization, Prabhupada says, without the blessings of the Lord, is child's play only. What an important point. We take this civilization we live in so seriously. We take our life so seriously. But we don't realize in every life we have the same problem. Most probably most of us were married. Most of us had children. The same children who are giving you hell. The same wives and husbands who are giving you hell. They gave you hell before. You gave them hell also. So we think this is very big. But actually Prabhupada says it's all child's play. Why? Because it's still birth, death, old age and disease. You can't get out of that. So it's all child's play. And Prabhupada explains this. As long as parents allow the child to play, it is alright. It's true, isn't it? As soon as parents withdraw, the child has to stop. What an amazing purport. As soon as the parents withdraw, the child must stop. But that's the part. The child doesn't stop, right? The child will say, no, I want to go on. Then what happens to the child? The child cries. You all know, our children are subject to what we call tantrums, isn't it? When they go into their tantrums, they want something, you stopped it, they bring the house down. They bring you down also. But we are told, just ride the wave of the tantrum. Right? Situshna, sukha dukkata, isn't it? Just tolerate. So we tolerate the ups and downs, and eventually they become quiet. Why? Because we have withdrawn. They must stop. In the same way, when something doesn't go our way in this material world, we don't realize the Supreme Father has withdrawn. Not withdrawn by moving away from us, but withdrawn because he has said, now enough of this material attachment. Drop it. This is what Arjuna was indirectly being told by Krishna. He was being told, drop your grief. That's what he's going to say now, very soon. He'll say that it is not worthy of a person like you to lament. And in the same way, when we are lamenting for the material things, we should understand they are not worthy for us to lament. Just we have to do our duty. But instead of worrying and worrying, we should simply chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. And Prabhupada says that whenever humans, when we have our activities, whatever activities we have, these activities must be dovetailed. And if they are dovetailed with the supreme blessings of Krishna, Prabhupada ends the purport. Without his blessings, this advancement of human civilization is like decoration of a dead body. Very important. So, Prabhus and Matajis, as devotees, we should not be so much concerned about the externalities. Where we live, how we live, these things, very often they come because of so much of previous karmas. We are not pure devotees to say we are also beyond the karmas. But a devotee accepts what has come. He is not disturbed by it. That's why the more a devotee is ready to surrender to what comes from Krishna, if he sees this is not coming from someone else, this is coming from Krishna, and I deserve this. When we accept that, then the grief dries up. It's when we don't accept it that the grief becomes worse. When we think, how can this happen to me? So long in Krishna consciousness, chanting every day, doing Mangala Arati, and this is what happens. But the question we should ask is, why not? If why, then why not? Because we must submit to Krishna's desire. This is very important. And that is why material qualification, with all our material intelligence, you find if we do not know that material life cannot bring us permanent happiness, then we are going to be in trouble. And the reason is bodily identity. And the reason for that is very simple. It is because we are always attached. We always think that whatever we have should always belong to us. But we don't realize that whatever we have cannot belong to us. Because our own bodies don't belong to us. We can't even control anything in ourselves. How can we control the people whom we are serving? Our families, our husbands, our wives, we can't control them. They are beyond our control. The moment we recognize nothing is in our control, then we become very controlled. You see the difference? When one understands that nothing is in his control, his senses become very controlled. But when one thinks, I have everything under control, that's the time his senses become uncontrolled. Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Ravana, the list is endless. They all thought everything was under our control, but their senses were controlling them. But see, Arjuna accepted that nothing is in my control, Krishna, that's why I'm dying now. I'm suffering. The moment he said, I'm not under control, he came under the control of Krishna. We must make that jump. Otherwise, we cannot advance in devotional service. We cannot say, I'm planning to do 16 rounds today. We can plan. We can desire. We can be determined. But we should never forget that until Krishna gives us the sanction, our pride that we can do something is of no value. No value. This is an important point. That is why it is nicely stated, you know, in the chapters of Bhagavatam. Tavat bhayam ravinadeha nimit srutno. Tavat bhayam ravinadeha sruhad nimittam. Sokas praha paribaho vipulas chalobaha. Tavan mameti asad anugraha arti mulan. Yavan natengri abhayam pravanita lokaha. Lord Brahma, who is the original creator of the secondary universe, he is the greatest authority. And he declares this point in 396 of Bhagavatam. He says, my dear Lord, people of this world are embarrassed by their anxieties. Actually, it is an embarrassment. How we live is really an embarrassment. We try so hard to make sure our body is presentable. But by the time death comes, all our dignity of controlling our bodily functions, they leave us. They leave us. We can control our faces, you know, so that when we are in pain, we can withstand it and make sure nobody knows I'm in pain, I'm tolerating. But when the force of death and disease come, do you see how they are on the beds? You see them stripped of dignity, stripped of their strength to control themselves. Sometimes if they are in difficulty, we hear them screaming, shouting, groaning, moaning. What can they do? A healthy person can just collapse. That is not a very dignified condition. That is what Brahma means. We are constantly being embarrassed by material nature, but we don't realize it. We don't realize it. And then Brahmaji says, why? Why are we always embarrassed? Because tavat bhayam. We are always afraid. What are we always afraid of? Why are we always afraid of? He gives the answer. We are always afraid of something in this world because we try to protect it. Think about it. You are always afraid of something when you try to protect something. When you try to protect that which is precious to you, you automatically become afraid. Afraid that either you cannot protect it or you will lose it. Wonderful point, isn't it? That is the source of all fear in this world. The moment you are not afraid, it actually means that you are not protecting anything. You are just serving it. You see the difference? When we try to serve Srila Prabhupada, we are not afraid. Because we are not trying to protect our prestige in serving Prabhupada. We are not trying to protect our service, only my service, nobody else should do service. No. If tomorrow we are given another service, fine. We didn't try to protect that service based on ego. We do another service because we say, this is Jagannath, he wants me to do another service, I'll do it. So actually, people are afraid in this world, Brahmaji says, because they want to protect wealth, they want to protect body, they want to protect friends. In other words, friends, family and society. And Brahmaji says, they are filled always with this greed that somehow or another, I must be able to protect. And because it is on the basis of I and mine, they are always afraid. Because they think this is mine and that is yours. Have you noticed how if somebody borrows your pen, you're a bit afraid? Especially if the pen is a nice pen you like. Have you noticed that? If you have a phone and somebody wants to borrow your phone and you just bought your phone, the chance of you lending it is more difficult than if your phone looks very bad. If your phone is used anyhow, someone borrows it, doesn't matter. Why? What is there to protect it? You're not attached, I'm very detached. But buy you something new. New toy, for example. Get a child. Give him a new toy. And the moment you give him a new toy, say, can I borrow it for a while? Or just get his brother or sister to say, I want to borrow the toy. There's going to be Mahabharat. Why? Because it's a new toy, it's mine. Have you seen how children fight over their toys? It's true. Happens everywhere. It shows you that from the day we are born, that seed of I and mine is there. Why? Because we have forgotten who we are. That is why we are in difficulty. So Brahmaji ends by saying, Yavan atendrim abhayam pravanita yokam. As long as we do not take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, they will always be full of anxiety. What is the reverse of that? The reverse of that is given in Bhagavatam 2.2.37. So every time you want to understand your condition, we should look at 3.9.6. Every time we feel very aggrieved with our condition and become very discouraged, oh, I'm really in bad shape, turn to 2.2.37. Because 2.2.37 gives us the solution to come out of this material embarrassment. Bhagavatam is so amazing. There is a verse for every condition in life. There is nothing that is not covered in Srimad Bhagavatam. And here, very nicely, Sukadeva Goswami says, you can sing with me. Pibantiye Bhagavata Atman Atmanasatam. Pibantiye Bhagavata Atmanasatam. Kathamritam Shravana Puteshu Samritam. Kathamritam Shravana Puteshu Samritam. Punantite Vishaya Vidushitashayam. Punantite Vishaya Vidushitashayam. Vrajanti tacharana saroruhantikam. Vrajanti tacharana saroruhantikam. Those who drink, through what? Oral reception. Oral is not O-R-A-L, no? That's through the mouth. But this is A-U-R-A-L. That means those who hear, what do they hear? Those who hear the message filled with nectar. And what is this nectar? Krishna's pastime. Krishna's philosophy, Krishna's teachings, Krishna's names. So anytime we hear this wonderful nectar of the message of Krishna, who is the beloved of the devotees, what happens to us? We become purified. The polluted aim of I and mine will automatically leave us. So sometimes people think, let me try to become detached from this material world. You can stand on your head upside down for 60,000 years. Most likely you'll be attached to your head. Because you know, it's taking a lot of pain and trouble, and you become more attached to your body. But if you just chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, you will notice that you will forget more of who you are, and you will remember more of who the Lord is. Isn't it true? When we are doing Kirtan, we very seldom think about our problems. If you start chanting with everyone, and when the devotees are dancing, even if your leg is broken, you find you don't feel the pain when you're dancing. After that, you die, of course. But during dancing, you don't feel anything. I know senior devotees who have back problems and leg problems. But when Kirtan comes, you find, my God, they're not touching the floor. Why? Because they don't feel it. The I and the mind actually leaves us. What is the solution? We just have to hear about Krishna. This I and mind and bodily identification, the grief that Arjuna felt, is actually the polluted aim of life. Please remember that. Whenever we do not make the aim of life to serve Krishna and the devotees, that aim is polluted. The aim is polluted. But the moment we make ourselves with the aim of serving Krishna and devotees, that's why I come to Gauranga Center, you'll find that devotional service will flow. It will flow. You see, water, by nature, water is very pure, as long as it is flowing. Have you noticed that? When water is flowing, it is pure. But the moment you stop the flow of water and you dam it, what happens? Literally, the water is dammed. No, it's D-A-M-E-D, M-N-E-D. You put a dam to the water and the water is dammed. Meaning, it becomes unclean. It becomes unclean. It becomes contaminated. If you walk into a toilet you never knew, somewhere in a bus stop, ST bus station terminal, somewhere in India, and you see a pail, and you see some water in it, you don't want to drink the water. Right? Most of us will say no. Let's look for Israeli water. That's it. But if you turn on the tap and it's running, and you're really thirsty, you have a chance. I'm not saying your stomach can take it, but you have a chance. It's better. You walk into a bathroom that you can't take. You don't know what to do. You're tipped away, you know. All you have to do is this. Turn on running water. You won't even realize it. The moment the water is running, you feel I can stand in this bathroom a little bit longer. Why? Because water is running. In the same way, when something is blocked, it becomes polluted. That is what Bhagavatam says is the polluted aim of life. When our aim of life is not to serve Krishna and the devotees, we become damned. It gets stuck. And then the grief comes and the senses dry. And because of our mental speculation and knowledge, I know what to do, we still try to solve the problem. Year after year, life after life. But we're here because last time we didn't solve the problem. That's why you and I are here. So obviously whatever we did last time didn't work. We know that now. So now we have to understand, wait a minute, Krishna Prabhupada is telling us now, we have to purify the polluted aim of life. That means very simple. No gymnastics. No great jugglery of words. No need to look into deep, deep significance. Prabhupada writes in one of his lectures, some people say that when Krishna and Arjuna spoke in Kurukshetra, Kurukshetra actually refers to your body. Prabhupada says Kurukshetra means the battlefield. There was a place known as Kurukshetra. There is a place known as Kurukshetra. It was a battlefield. There was a personality known as Krishna. There was a personality known as Arjuna. They did speak Bhagavad Gita. But you will have people telling you, actually, no. Krishna is that person within you whom you don't know. Arjuna is the great soul whom you are. Everything is allegorical. Nothing exists. That means we also should not exist. But we exist. If someone pinches us now, we are going to scream. The fact is, we should not complicate the matters. If Krishna spoke, that means he spoke. Nobody else spoke. No one inside the being that was Krishna spoke. Krishna is Krishna. That is polluted. Aim of life which is not polluted means Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Rama. So those who hear about Krishna, they purify the life. The grief is not dried. And what happens? The senses are alive. They go back to Godhead. They go back to the lotus feet of Lord Hari. This is 2237. So it's a very important verse for us to know. And that is why the first part of the purport, Prabhupada spends so much time telling us, you do not need to cultivate any material qualification to solve the problems of life. We need to cultivate a devotional attitude. That will solve all problems. When Arjuna was seeing the Brahmashtra coming towards him, what did he do, Prabhus and Mataji's? He didn't say, I have a strong Brahmashtra that is going to counteract. Let me just get it ready now. No, he didn't do that. He could have done that because he would easily have been able to counter the Brahmashtra. But instead, what did he do? Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho, Bhakta Nama Vayankaraha, Tvammeko Dhaya Mananam, Apavargo Sisam Sritehe. Such a beautiful verse. He says, Krishna, you are the mighty arm. Only you are capable of protecting me. That's what Arjuna is saying now. What Arjuna is saying is, Krishna, no one, including myself, can protect myself. Only you are capable of protecting me. And only you know what is best for me. And that is why I'm Nishchitam. In the verse before this, Nishchitam Bruhi. Nishchitam Prabhupada puts in translation word to word is what? Serving. Nishchitam, is it serving? Certain, right? Certain. You see, it is certain. That means he's confident. He's very confident that only you know what to do. This is the mood of a devotee. And that is why material qualification is never important to devotees. If you have that, it's fine. If you don't, it doesn't matter. So if we have it and we use it for Krishna, well and good. If we don't have it, but we use whatever Krishna has given, well and good. This is the mood of a devotee. And if we understand that, then we will not judge each other on material qualifications. We will not see, oh, Mataji is wearing a sari. She is a female gender. Therefore, she is not very smart. She is not very intelligent. This is material designation. But if we see Mataji is expert in something, then why should the fact that she is either a she or a he or a it, why should that matter? It should not matter. Let the best devotee or the best person do the best job. Arjuna was the best person for this job. So Krishna chose him. This is the mood of Krishna. Krishna found in the form of Lord Ram that Hanuman would be the best person to do all the jobs. So Hanuman crossed over Lanka. Hanuman carried the mountain and saved Lakshman. Hanuman set fire to Lanka. Hanuman was the emissary between Sita Mata and Lord Ram. If you look at Ramayana, Hanuman figures in more services than any other person. No other person does more service in Ram than Hanumanji. But what is Hanuman's qualification? He's a monkey, no PhD, no MSc, no LLB, all gibberish, doesn't have a house, only stays in the forest, doesn't know which tree is going to live in the night. He's completely penniless, no bank account, no safety deposit, no CPF, never worked in his life. Hanumanji has nothing to offer. And yet, he's a pure devotee of the Lord. Why? Because his senses, instead of drying up, were used in Krishna's service. So there was no grief. So every time you feel sad, just remember, I'm sad because I'm not engaged sufficiently in Krishna consciousness. Full stop. That's the reason why we grieve. So the next time you feel very sad about yourself, or you feel very angry about someone, then please know, your senses are in control. You are not in control. But if you are chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, then we are always peaceful. Which brings us now to the concluding part of the first section of the purport. When you talk about material disqualification, Prabhupada also says, if economic development and advancement of our civilization is so great because we have really made advancement, then actually, frankly speaking, all the problems of the world should end or should reduce, isn't it? But I think you and I know, looking at the newspaper every day, how all our problems are increasing. You look at Alberta in Canada, normally freezing cold, freezing cold. Last year, the devotees in Alberta were telling me, that around this time in May, temperature was actually minus 5 degrees. For 3 days last year at this time, Alberta was minus 5. This year, the size of the forest fire has now come up to 3 times the size of Singapore. 3 times the size of Singapore. Thousands and thousands of acres now filled with oil. The fields are below, there are oil. It's known as sand oil. That's why Alberta, that place is considered the gateway to the economy of Alberta. But now it is a fire out of control. Out of control. When the tsunamis came, the waves were no less than 8 to 10 meters high. Our overhead bridge is 4.5 meters, by the way. Every time you cross over, just remember it's 4.5 meters. A tsunami wave is twice that height. Do you think anything will survive that? It's impossible. And they are coming. Earthquakes are happening in places we never heard of. Sarawak had an earthquake. And children from our Singapore, which we are so proud of, very sheltered, nothing will happen, tsunami free, everything free. And they went somewhere in their destiny and they were actually caught by an earthquake. The year 2000, I was in Gujarat. We were doing groundbreaking ceremony for Rajkot Temple. No, for Dwarka Temple. Groundbreaking ceremony. When the ground really broke. Actually, it was a groundbreaking ceremony, Krishna style. Because we went inside, dug a bit, and everything started shaking. Panditjis from Dwarkadish Temple and all the devotees doing kirtan, everyone stopped. Everyone thought, wait a minute, how come the ground is breaking so much today? You know, they must be really digging hard. And then I started feeling giddy. Because I thought, why am I feeling, you know, like everything is shaking? Then I saw a devotee next to me, and he looked the same way as I did. So I figured, I think everyone is feeling something. Then I saw the cracks on the walls of the building, you know, running diagonal. The tiles were popping. Just like that, you know, just like you see it in the movies. Then I remembered that Guru Maharaj was on the fourth floor, right up of the guest house. And the guest house had a crickety steps that go all the way up. And I don't know how it held. Somehow two or three of us ran up. And there was Guru Maharaj sitting down. The fan had fallen this way. The cupboards had fallen. The whole guest house was shaking. And two life members sitting next to Maharaj, they were shaking more than the guest house. They were literally shaking. They wanted to run. But you know what Maharaj was doing? He was saying, let's chant together. Time is coming. Time is coming. I think they were not prepared for the time. But because Maharaj was there, they couldn't move, you know. So can't go against the sadhu and run. And Maharaj was telling them, don't worry, this is the time. You're smiling. This is the time. If we chant and we go, it's glorious. We said, Maharaj, we have to move. And Maharaj told me, Devki, what's the point? Anyway, it's going to come. Let it end. And we said, no. So two devotees carried Maharaj. And as I was leaving, Maharaj said, don't forget, there's Lakshmi in the shelves. There's money. That money is Krishna's money. So whether you die or not, get the money out. And I remember I ran to the cupboard, got it, opened it, closed it, ran down. As I ran down, I realized everybody had gone down. I was the last man standing. So I thought, this is really true. It's happening. And I ran all the way down. When I reached the ground, everything became quiet. And then Maharaj started Bhagavatam class by saying, today, I saw Yamaraj in all your faces. All your faces. He said, I saw Yamaraj. And Maharaj said, when he started shaking, I could see downstairs. And I realized all the devotees, instead of increasing kirtan, you all stopped your kirtan. We all stopped. And the only one person started chanting, then everyone started again. It was the chief pujari of Dwarkadish Temple. He started chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Suddenly we remembered, hey, we are members of the International Society for Krishna Worship. We're supposed to chant. Thank you for reminding us. And then we all chanted, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's when I realized personally that nothing is in our control. Nothing. Krishna saved us. We were out of electricity and everything, even telecommunication, for 3 days. Nobody got it. We couldn't get through. They couldn't get through to us. And then we realized later that 100 over 1,000 people died in that earthquake. The devotees who were in the bus from Ahmedabad, they were saved. some of their family members as far as Ahmedabad, some of them died. Those in Surat, very far, few houses collapsed. But those in the Saurashtra area, many of them in Kutch, whole villages were gone. Gone. It took me 5 days to move out of Dwarka by land route because trains, nothing was moving. And as we went, we passed by some towns on the sea village side, you know. And there, we found bodies of farmers on the branches of the trees because of the tidal waves that came in after the earthquake. And it brought the boats in and it brought the fishermen, and they were still on the trees. They were still on the trees, hanging like fruits. And that's when we realized, what is in our hands? Why to grieve for this body that is eventually going to go? Better we use the time now. Pivantiye Bhagavata. Let us drink Krishna consciousness. Whatever we have been yesterday, we have to improve today. Whatever we were chanting last week, we must increase our love for Krishna. Because only Krishna can protect that consciousness. That is why in material world, besides birth, death, old age and disease, there are also the four defects that stop us. Prabhupada makes mention of it. The four defects, you know, mistake. Everyone makes a mistake. And everyone is illusioned. Everyone is also cheating. And finally, everyone's senses are imperfect. This is the problem. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, if you have time, go to Adi Leela. And in Adi Leela's 7th chapter, go to 107. And in that verse, see the purport. It is the only purport in all Prabhupada's writings where Prabhupada has actually given a deep analysis of what exactly these four defects are. It's amazing. I've never heard of such definitions. Prabhupada says a mistake is an acceptance of an object to be different from what it is. Consider that. Mistake is an acceptance of an object to be different from what it actually is. The moment you think something is something else, you are mistaken. If you see someone not smiling at you, and you think, aha, he doesn't like me. It is an acceptance of an object or a matter. But if it is different, it is a mistake. See? So just like you see a rope and you think it's serpent, or serpent, a rope, that is a mistake. Second point Prabhupada brings up. After mistake, what is illusion? Illusion is misunderstanding which arises from inattention while hearing. Very nice point. Prabhupada says, illusion is misunderstanding that arises from inattention while hearing. That means spiritually, when we are inattentive while hearing Krishna's names, we are in illusion. Or we become disillusioned. Have you noticed? Every time our chanting is not up to the mark, we become disillusioned. We lose acceptance of what is. And those who are illusioned, they make mistakes. So this is how they are linked. The moment you cannot fix your mind on Krishna, we become, because of inattention, we become illusion. That is why whenever we say, Prabhu, why am I suffering? It's because we are not attentive to Krishna. If we are really attentive to Krishna and His teachings, and we take the devotees seriously in our lives, then we will never be in illusion. And we will never make mistakes. Such a nice point. And the third point Prabhupada brings up is very nice. What is cheating? Cheating is transmission of such defective knowledge to others. So in other words, you make a mistake and then you transmit this knowledge of mistake to others. Then you are cheating. Supposing I tell you that I am doing this, but actually it's not true. If it's not true to myself, it's illusion. Okay, I'm illusion. But if I transmit it, not only am I illusion and I'm in mistake, I've also cheated. See how now it has expanded? So we have to be very careful about what we can serve others, what we transmit. If we transmit to the world that material suffering can be solved with material solutions, then we are cheating. We are cheating. And Prabhupada rounds off the purport by saying, all this culminates in imperfect senses. Why? Because your imperfect senses capture the illusion and mistakes you make. And then after capturing, they transmit to others, and therefore through mistake, illusion, and imperfect senses, you cheat the whole world. And not enough that you cheat the whole world, you also cheat yourself. You cheat yourself. So always remember, there is a very unique relationship between mistake, illusion, imperfect senses, and finally cheating. But all four of this we can transcend. How? By simply adding two words, Krishna willing. If we say Krishna willing, we will come to the center. Then what has happened? First things first. If you want to go to somewhere, but it is only by the will of Krishna, that is not mistake. That is fact. You say, I want to go to center, but Krishna willing. Your desire is great, your determination is great, but it requires blessing of Krishna. So no mistake anymore. Second, where there is no mistake, will you become illusioned? You won't become illusioned now. Because you're not accepting something which is mistaken. So Krishna willing has freed you now from mistake and illusion. When you say, I see someone there, or I want to somehow or another serve Krishna, or maybe I can do this Krishna willing, then what happens is, you also say, if Krishna wants, the senses which are imperfect, they will be able to fulfill his desire. So now mistake is not there, illusion is not there, imperfect senses are taken care of. And the moment these three are in place, who will you cheat? Who do we cheat? We don't cheat anyone. That is why the Muslims have a very good habit. Everything they say, whether they mean it or not, it has become part of their culture. They say always, right? God willing. And that is very important for us. The moment the ego says, I can do it, and forgets God willing, mistake, illusion, imperfect senses, Hari Bol, cheating. But if we say, I want to do it, Krishna, you know what is best for me. I am dried up now, but I am surrendered to you. Surrender to you means surrender to your will. Surrender to your will means Krishna willing. You see this point? So it's very practical for us. Vibhanti and Krishna willing. Which now brings us to the last part of the purport. And while Prabhupada says that Arjuna is in difficulty because of this material grief and bodily identification, but now how does Arjuna come out of misery? It's very straightforward. By accepting the orders and the instructions of a spiritual master. That is the only way to come out of this grief. When you are in the net and you cannot come out, you must search for someone who is outside of the net, or someone who has cut through the net and knows how to come through. If you get that person and you take shelter of him or her, then you will know how to come out of the net. That's it. That's why Prabhupada quotes here, a spiritual master does not have to be Brahmana, Shudra, Vaishya, he can be anything. From any caste, from anywhere. It doesn't matter. But only one qualification is needed. He's Machitta Satatam Bhava. 100% Krishna conscious. That is Machitta Satatam Bhava. This is very important. So therefore, there is an MSc in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada writes it 2 times in the purport. Master in Science of Krishna Consciousness. If you put it together, what is it? It's MSc. So he's saying that we need a degree. But this degree is the master of the science of Krishna Consciousness, is whom we must seek and to whom we must surrender at the lotus feet. And what is the qualification of this master? This master will only give you Krishna. In other words, there is an absence of Maya. The spiritual master's qualification is that he is 100% Krishna conscious. Otherwise, how can we become 100% Krishna conscious? If I have 60%, I can't give you 100%. Correct? If I say, Prabhu, I'm only 60% Krishna conscious. But never mind, I'll become your guru. But when I become your guru, I can give you 100% Krishna consciousness. Really, do you think that's logical? It's not. Therefore, Prabhupada says, if the spiritual master is 100% spiritually conscious, Krishna conscious, then the disciple gets 100%. But if spiritual master is 50%, then how to expect that he will give 100% to the disciple? It's not possible. But even then, Srila Prabhupada was so merciful that sometimes he would tell his disciples, that actually I am not very qualified. But I pray that one day, one of my disciples will become more qualified than me and bring me back to Krishna. He says it in the purport of the 4th canto, 9th chapter, in the early part of the verses, Dhruva Maharaj. When Dhruva Maharaj is waiting to see, where is my mother? And then, you know, the Vishnurutas who are carrying him, they say, no, your mother has already gone up. In that purport, Prabhupada says that Dhruva Maharaj was so fortunate to have an exalted mother, and mother was so fortunate to have an exalted devotee son. Because of him, she is going back. And then Prabhupada ends so nicely by saying, it is also our desire that someday one of our disciples will become so advanced that he can bring us back to Godhead. If Prabhupada, who is a master of science of Krishna consciousness, can say that, then that is the true qualification of a spiritual master. A spiritual master only has Krishna and will only give you Krishna. Because that's all we need, Prabhus and Matajis. We don't need anything or anyone else except Krishna. And Krishna automatically means the whole package deal. You get Krishna, you get the devotees, you get prasadam, you get the center, you get the deities, you get the worship, you definitely get the kirtan. All this is considered Krishna. So it's a great package. So it's not only Krishna. It's actually a big, big and very deep package. So the conclusion Prabhupada says is that it's very important for us to actually understand the importance of a spiritual master. If we understand the importance of a spiritual master, and if we know that bodily identification will not solve the problems of life, then only spiritual master can take us out. That is why Dhruva Maharaj is a great example. We'll end by remembering him. When Dhruva Maharaj was born, he was a son, just like his brother Uttama, a prince. They were both princes. But because he was born to a queen, Suniti, who was not so much favored as his other queen, Suruchi. What happened was, Uttama was more favored. One day, Uttama sits on the lap of his father, right? What is father's name? Uttanapad. He sits on the lap of Uttanapad, playing. And Dhruva Maharaj, only 5 years old, thinks, let me also sit on the lap of my father. Goes to sit on the lap of the father, but what happens? Immediately at that point, father says, you have to get off. And at that point of time, Suruchi comes. Because Dhruva Maharaj is upset, why should I not be able to sit on my father's lap? And Suruchi says something very powerful. She says, Dhruva, unfortunately, by the greatness of providence, you are not qualified to sit on the lap of your father. Why? Because I am his favorite queen. If you want to sit on the lap of your father, I have a suggestion and a solution. Just hear what she says. She says, you pray to the good Lord, the Supreme Lord. Pray to him because he benedicts everyone. What is your prayer? Pray to him that in your next life, you will be born in my womb. And in then, you may be able to sit on the lap of your father. Can you imagine that? So he becomes very angry. He goes inside and then he turns to who? He turns to his mother, Suniti. He tells her the whole thing. Now imagine how Suniti must be feeling. Just imagine. She must be feeling completely, completely taken in. She must be so upset. But what does she tell? She's breathing very heavily. She's feeling very sad. But she tells him a very important point. In the 4th canto, 8th chapter, 17th verse, Suniti says, Ma mangalam tata pareshu mamsta. Bhumte jano yat pura dukkha daste. Very important. Because here she tells him, Dhruva, do one thing. Don't wish for anything inauspicious for others. Don't wish for anything inauspicious. When something happens in this world and someone hurts us, and normally that is where the most greatest pain is, we always mean inauspicious normally. We get angry with the person. But we don't. As Vaishnavas, as devotees, we should not. Why? Because Suniti is giving this point. She says, never wish for anything inauspicious. Anyone who inflicts pain upon others suffers himself from that pain. Please remember this. That's why Arjuna qualified to become disciple of Krishna. Why? Because he didn't want to inflict pain on anyone. That's why he didn't want to fight. This is the principle. Why he became qualified? Because he really doesn't want to hurt anyone. So he's the right candidate for spiritual life. So this is important. What a great spiritual master his mother was. Dua, don't feel bad. Don't wish inauspiciousness. Mean well. And then she says something amazing. She says, your stepmother is correct. She's correct. Which part is she correct on? The part about worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. I remember one time, in one congregation, one devotee said on a Vyasasan, and then he declared that those who are studying Bhagavatam, they are studying Bhagavatam because they are actually in Maya. They should be studying Chaitanya Charitamrita because that is the postgraduate study. Bhagavatam is not. So if you are studying Bhagavatam, you are in Maya. Some disciples of my Guru Maharaj heard this lecture and became very upset. And they went to Maharaj and they called him on the phone and said, Maharaj, this person is condemning Bhagavatam because he said, Bhagavatam means, to read Bhagavatam, that means you are in Maya. And Maharaj said, it's a very good statement. Because only those in Maya can come to Bhagavatam. Because when you are in Maya and you have nowhere else to go, Bhagavatam is the only shelter. So the qualification to come to Bhagavatam is you must be in Maya. And when you are in Maya and you come to Bhagavatam, you become free. So sometimes, those who see things through the lens of the material energy, everything is negative. But for a devotee, what is negative? It's not very negative. When Hanumanji got the mountain, he landed on the mountain to get Sanjeevani. But he couldn't find the plant. He was an expert. So what did he do? He didn't think negative. He didn't sit down and moan and groan. He just picked up the whole mountain. That was it. It was easy. So a devotee is positive. Why? Because the spiritual master always gives the right advice. So Suniti then told him only one thing. Go and meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Render devotional service to him because he is the only one who can mitigate your distress. Until we come to devotional service, the distress will never leave us. So Dhruva leaves now. Who is his first guru? Prabhu's? Mataji's? His mother. Mother didn't have to give Diksha to him. I now give you initiated name. No. Siksha is also guru. She gave him the best knowledge. Now what happened? The moment she said that, Narada Muni, who sees past, present and future, three kalaknya, he heard, hey, this is Dhruva. What an amazing child. 5 years old, going to the forest to meditate on the Lord. Must go and see him. When he goes to see him, what does he do? He touches him. Brahma Sparshanam, from a pure devotee. Imagine being touched by Narada Muni. You and I won't be here then, Immediately, minimum we'll go back to Vaikuntha. Minimum. So what happens? Dhruva Maharaj is already touched by his mother. Now he's touched literally by Narada Muni. But Narada Muni would test him. Because it's MSc for Krishna Consciousness. You need an exam, isn't it? So what does he tell him? He says, child, you're too young. At this age, you should be playing like all the other children. Go back now. When you're older, you come back and do devotional service. That's alright. Then he says, what is this honor, dishonor? Nothing. So what if you were insulted? Go back and do whatever you want. Be satisfied where you are as a prince. Don't waste your time. Don't you know? It is stated in Bhagavatam, one should be satisfied in any position you are in. Just see how dangerous and tough the questions were. You could easily become swayed by it and say, hey, yeah, actually, I could just stay at home. But what did Dhruva say? Dhruva said, your advice is very nice, but I'm Kshatriya in spirit. I can't accept your advice. So tell me something I can do to achieve what I want. And tell me something which I can do honestly with Krishna's blessing. This is the hallmark of Dhruva. This is the hallmark of Arjuna. They both didn't want to go through the crooked path. Whatever path they chose, let it be that Krishna is there. And then what did Narada Muni say? Now I give you initiation. So Narada instructed and initiated as Diksha Guru, Dhruva. And Dhruva Maharaj now chanted the beautiful mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And within a few months he saw Krishna. And after seeing Krishna, whatever material desires he had, just like all of us, because he heard Pibanti, the oral reception of the pure devotee, MSc, what happened? He became purified of what? The polluted aim of life. Started by wanting a kingdom, ended by wanting love of God. Beautiful. This is Bhagavatam. And after becoming a great king, mind you, Dhruva became attached to what? He became attached to his anger. because his brother Uttama was killed by a yaksha, and wanting to revenge him, and in Kshatriya still he killed the yaksha. That was all right, because in chivalry rules, it's a battle. Then he went to kill the whole yaksha race. So now third guru came, his grandfather Swayambhuva Manu, and he comes and says, Dhruva, don't forget, you have so much Krishna consciousness with you. When you were young, you saw Krishna. When you were young, you had Nagamuni. Have you forgotten that? Anger is a great obstacle to self-realization. Come out of this. And after telling him that, Dhruva Maharaj obeyed. He obeyed 100% his spiritual master, Swayambhuva Manu. And then he came to the Yakshas' kingdom and he bowed before Kuvera and gave him back all the things that he had seized. And what did Kuvera do? Kuvera also blessed him. And Kuvera also gave him the guidance that in this life, you please concentrate on devotional service. So how many gurus he had? He had four gurus. Three sikshas and one diksha. Doesn't that show us how our spiritual life should be? That from the start, we are always guided by Krishna as long as we do not remove him from our lives. Remember, the moment Arjuna said Krishna came out, the chariot was gone, the strength was gone, Arjuna was also gone. So the conclusion is, we must seriously ask ourselves today, do we want to continue our lives just in the polluted aim of satisfying our senses and saying, when I'm retired, I'll do it? Or are we going to say, birth, death, old age and disease, they are going to come life after life. Shall we stop this now? And shall we go back? A devotee who starts that inquiry, he attracts the transcendental love and mercy of the Supreme Personality of God. Atena dhanya bhagavanta mittam yadva sudeve akhila lokanate kurvanti sarvatmakamatma bhavam yatra ugrano na yatra bhavaha parivarta ugraha. 1339. Very important. Those who make this inquiry, do I want to continue in polluted aim of life or not? The person who asks this inquiry, he becomes perfectly cognizant and he becomes perfectly intelligent. And this inquiry provokes the transcendental attraction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his life. Jai Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam. Jai Shri Prabhupada, Jai Shri Gurudev, Ananda Guri Vaishnavinda ki, Thy Golden Ring. I can take one question before we start a very important presentation that we want to do. Anyone like to ask the question? Does anyone have any doubts? Yes, Mataji.
You talk about that.
Yeah, the mic would be good. You know why everyone else can hear? They can benefit.
Yeah, as you talked about that, you know, in a devotee's life,
yes,
or when you are a devotee,
yes,
don't forget that it's for serving others.
Yes.
Give up your anger.
Yes.
How to give up the anger?
If you keep chanting Krishna's names, if you increase the time you spend with Krishna, if you increase the quality of your time with Krishna, anger becomes an emotion that Krishna will allow you to control. The more angry you become, the more you chant. Then anger becomes your friend. Isn't it? Then the next time you're angry, you chant. If someone becomes angry with you, Mataji, don't become angry with them. You just go back and you chant. And you see that that anger must have some truth to it. Otherwise, why should they become angry with us? A devotee who feels that it is my fault, he's free. A devotee who thinks it's that person's fault, he meditates on that person. Then 10, 15, 20 minutes can go. And then that time you could have chanted one whole mala of the Hare Krishna mantra. You see? So, Krishna mantra is dynamic. When you're angry, chant. When you're happy, chant. When you're sad, please chant. When you're depressed, keep chanting. If after chanting you say, Prabhu, I'm still depressed, we say, very good. That means you have to chant more. So nothing's really bad for us as long as we can chant. You see the point? It actually turns around the way we see things in the world. But it must have Krishna. Thank you, Mataji. Anything? Yes, yes. Anything else? A short question? Violent objections? Good. Thank you. Oh, yes, Prabhu. Just be Prabhu. One question. Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu.
It may be wrong to ask, but still I felt that as you brought that one step of Muslim that they keep their God in the.
Yes.
Can you elaborate more that? Because there is a lot of problems.
Yeah.
So,
you see,
how it,
the problems come not because of the will of God. The problems have come because we have made devotional service a ritual. That's the problem. Every time we make chanting a ritual, taking care of the deities a ritual, coming to the center a ritual, you'll find you lose taste for bhakti. When you lose taste for bhakti, then you go through the motion. I'm chanting. But at the same time, you're becoming very materialistic because you're inattentive to the holy name. And Prabhupada says, illusion comes when you are inattentive. It's a very important point. If you love someone, how can we become inattentive to them? If you get a guest in your house and you're inattentive to the guest will leave. Why should he stay? He doesn't feel wanted. So sometimes, while cultures have good foundation, we need to feel what we say. Have you heard of lecturers who give lectures and then you go to sleep? Because they're just reading or they're just going through because you know why? Time has to finish, I have to teach. Then have you met lecturers or speakers who speak but you're awake? Why? Because whatever they are speaking, they have invested their heart into it. When we invest our heart into the devotional service, then this feeling of God willing, Prabhu, really helps us to transcend this material world. So don't make bhakti into ritual. That's the lesson. Are we ready, Prabhu, with this? Okay, good. So, Prabhu's Matajis, tomorrow morning we have Srimad Bhagavatam class. His Grace Madan Mohan Prabhu. We had two wonderful weeks of Sureshwar Prabhu. And before that,